Shoshana. The one thing it tells us is that there needs to be a Torah. So when you talk about Rosh Hashanah, the most basic elements or elements of Rosh Hashanah, obviously you start with the shofar. And I say you start with the shofar, that's strange because the Torah never actually tells us that you blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It just tells us what needs to come out of the shofar, the Torah. And I think this is a question we're going to need to keep in mind as we move forward. Why does the Torah not tell us the most basic thing about the shofar? We all call it shofar, that you use a shofar. I think the answer we can get by looking at where we learn out the laws of Tkiyat Shofar from. If I asked you, if you've seen it in the course, you happen to know yourself, where do we learn it from? What would you say? The most basic answer is Yovel. Because if you look at the third source on page 2, and if you haven't numbered your papers, I suggest you do so we can refer to papers. On page 2, V'yikra Perek Hafei, it says there, V'ha'avarta Shofar Trua B'chodesh HaShvi. That's the place in the Torah, the one place in the Torah, where we have a mitzvah to blow what's mentioned beferish, a shofar. A shofar. That's by Yovel. Now let me ask you guys, is there any basis to think that what you do on Rosh Hashanah should be similar to what you do in Yovel? Look at how the Torah presents Yovel and tell me if you see anything that looks familiar to you. Va'avarta shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi'i. When is Rosh Hashanah? Chodesh HaShvi, right? The Torah mentions that by Rosh Hashanah as well. That's why fourth source, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shem Shofar? How do we know that Rosh Hashanah we blow the Shofar? Talmud Loma V'Avarta Shofar Trua by Yovel. Ein Li'el B'Yovel. Rosh Hashanah Minayin. How do you know that that's true for Rosh Hashanah as well? Talmud Loma V'Chodesh HaShvi. It mentions by both B'Chodesh HaShvi. What's the Chiddush B'Chodesh HaShvi? If it says B'Yovel B'Yom HaKippurim, obviously we know it's B'Chodesh HaShvi. Sheyu Kol Truot Shechodesh Shvi Zekazeh. This links all the blowings we do in the seventh month. They're all b'shofar. So the Gemara learns the most basic element of what we do on Rosh Hashanah from Yovel. But the question remains, why does the Torah not mention it, right? I think the answer to that question is that there's another model for blowing in the Torah. It isn't with a shofar. It's with chatzotzrot. But that's also supposed to be a model for Rosh Hashanah. Now technically on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to use the shofar. In general, outside the Mikdash, we'll get back to the Mikdash. Had the Torah mentioned that you use the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we would have immediately associated it with Yovel, and not at all associated it with
trumpets.
The trumpets. By not mentioning it, even though technically, luckily, we're going to blow the shofar, the parallel to the trumpets, to the chatzotzot remains. If you look at Bamidbar Perek Yud, we see they used to use the chatzotzot during the Midbar, last week's Parsha, and even after the Midbar, it was used for future generations in two kinds of situations. Anyone knows what they are? Psukim Tes and Yud? Milchama. Right at the time of Tzara. What else? No, that was in the desert, not afterwards. After what?
Celebration.
In the Beit Mikdash, when they Biyom Simchatchem, Pasuk Yud, when they would bring the Korbanot Musaf. And what's interesting is there's a word that appears in both of those Psukim that I think connects the chatzotzos with Rosh Hashanah. What's that word?
Zichar.
What?
Zikaron.
In both Psukim Tet and Yud, it mentions Zikaron. We remember from Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel, Zichron Trua. So there's basis for connecting between the two, right? Now again, I don't think we would have had the Torah written beferish that you blow the shofar. And what's interesting is that in our Tfilot on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf, in the Bracha of Shofar, you see the next source, etc., the conclusion right before, which pasuk do we quote? Etc., etc. Which seems to show you that the blowing of the chatzotzot is on some level or something we should associate with, learn from, relevant on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, if you look at the next source, the Ibn Ezra, he's bothered by the following question. How do we know when the Torah writes by Rosh Hashanah Yom Tura, how do we know that it means anything more than what we do on every Yom Tif in the Beis HaMikdash that we blow the shofar and the chatzotzot? So the Ibn Ezra proves that it's more from two points. Number one, how come it's not mentioned in Sefer Bamidbar by any of the other Yom Tov? Must be there's something special here. And number two, if you look by the Chatzotzos, it says you're supposed to blow a tekia, u'tekatem pasakyut b'chatzotzot. On Rosh Hashanah, what does the Torah mention?
Sure.
So even though you do both by both, the fact the Torah mentions a different one proves you were talking about a different kind of blowing. But what I'm trying to show you is, you could have thought it was the same thing, right? Oh. So we have these two models. One model is technically, obviously, very connected, Yovel. The other is conceptually connected, Zikaron. And you see this duality in two Gemarot, where we talk about the relationship between blowing on Rosh Hashanah and blowing by these other two situations, these other 2 days. The first is the Gemara in Chav Tesem et Aleph, in the bottom of page 2 here. The Gemara begins with the Brayse of Tana Rabbanan. Hakol chayvim b'tkiyat shofar. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Avadim, Shechorim, Tumtum, Androgynous, everybody. The Gemara asks, what's the chiddush that a Kohen should be chayv? Why would he not be chayv? A Kohen is chayv in all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara gives two explanations. The first one on the bottom of page 2 is, I would have thought, since Kohanim blow other times during the year, maybe they're patur here. What other times does the Kohanim blow? The Chatzotzos and the Mikdash. Or in other words, it's one or the other. That's why there's a chiddush that the Kohanim are chayv in shofar, because I would have thought it's one or the other. Turning the page to page 3, the Gemara has a different explanation. I would have said, since the Kohanim are responsible to blow the shofar on Yovel, I'm sorry, only those responsible to blow the shofar on Yovel are responsible to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And the Kohanim, since they're not mitzvah in the mitzvah of Yovel, they don't have to return karkos, they're not mitzvah in blowing the shofar on Yovel, so they're not mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. I mean, the two explanations of the Havamina are looking at two different parallels. Are we looking at shofar Rosh Hashanah in light of Chatzotzos? Are we looking at shofar Rosh Hashanah in light of Yovel? That's our tension. In a very similar way, the Gemara, first Gemara on page 3, on Daf Lamed Gimel, a Gemara which at least Maisha will get up to, I assume the other ones too, wants to know, the Torah says in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Trua, Zichron Trua, how do you know you blow Tekiah? And by the way, the Tekiahs are the bulk, before and after, two-thirds. How do you know? Minayin Shepshuta Lefanel, Minayin Shepshuta Leachra. So the Gemara in the beginning quotes the Pasuk of Ve'avarta Shofar Trua. And later it says, Taviru Shofar, the Taviru is the Tekiah. Where does it say those Pesukim Ve'avarta Shofar Trua, Taviru Shofar? Yovel. Gemara says, Ein Le'el Yovel, Rosh Hashanah Minayin, it quotes the same drush. It says, B'chodesh HaShvi, to tell you they're all connected. So the first part of the Gemara suggests learning not only the kli we use, but the number and the tkios and the truos from Yovel. Looking at the second part of the Gemara now, V'haytana ma'isilav m'gzera shav m'midbar. And a different Tana learns it from m'gzera shav, not from Yovel, but from what was done in the Midbar. What was done in the Midbar? The Tanyu t'katem trua. What's that talking about?
Trumpets.
The trumpets. Rosh Hashanah minayin, Tama nama trua trua. It says trua bar l'chatzos. It says trua bar Rosh Hashanah we connected to. In these two Gemaras, you see there's a debate. Are we looking at the Shofar Rosh Hashanah in light of Yovel? Are we looking at the Shofar in light of the Chatzotzos? As we mentioned, starting to move from the models to the nature of blowing on Rosh Hashanah, as we mentioned, the key word on Rosh Hashanah that links it to the Chatzotzos is the word Zikaron. And this word is very important. It's very basic to defining the mitzvah of Shofar as opposed to other mitzvahs. I'll explain what I mean. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches is talking about what happens if a person is forced to do a mitzvah. Let's say someone forces you to eat matzah. Physically forces you. They stuff the food down your throat. Are you yotze the mitzvah or not? So the Gemara quotes an opinion that says, you're yotze. Mitzvahs don't need kavana. You did the action, you're yotze. Amar Rava, middle of the third line. Zoto Merit, we see from here, atokei alashir yotze. If you're blowing the shofar for musical enjoyment, you're yotze. The Gemara says, Pshita. What's the difference? Obviously, if you're forced to eat matzah, you're yotze if you're forced to blow the shofar without having intention. So the Gemara says, here it says, Zichron Trua. And I would have said that Zichron requires reflection. So you could say, that's just Avamina, it's rejected, it's a regular mitzvah. But if you look at the next Gemara here, on Amud Beis, Chav Ches Amud Beis, Rav Chista said to his Shame, to his Gabbai, Ichave Nutkali, have kavana and blow for me. Alma kasaver mashmiya boi kavana. Usually by a mitzvah, you don't need the person being motzi you to have kavana. You need to have kavana. Here you see that by shofar, you need someone to have in mind to be yotzi you. And in fact, the Rambam summarized the halacha this way: ad sheyiskavein shomea umashmiya. Both sides have to have in mind to be yotze with each other, have to have in mind tkiyat shofar. Again, the zikaron, the reflectiveness. It's true you yotze if you're tkei l'shir, but when you're blowing for someone else, there's a level of reflectiveness that's needed. I think this explains also why there's significance to the species and the shape of the shofar. And here, this is one of the sugyas we're going to be speaking about at the beginning of the third perek. At length, let's look at the bottom of page 3. The Mishnah in the beginning of the third perek writes, Kol hashofros ksherim. All shofars are kosher, chutz mishal par. Okay. But then if we turn to page 4, the Mishnah on Amud Bet, the very same page, the next Amud, the next Mishnah, says, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'el, it has to be of a Ya'el, Pashut, straight, Upiv mitzupe zahav, shtei chatzotzot min hatzadim. Later on in the same Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, B'Rosh Hashanah tokim b'shel zcharim, not the female, but the male species. And the question is it, like the Mishnah said in the bottom of page 3, that they're all okay with the exception of Parah, or that we need something specific? Which one is it? So Tosfos quotes a machlokas here, whether the Mishnah on Amud Beis is just l'chatchila, or whether, and this is what he says in the end of the Tosfos, that you're not Yotze unless you use specifically this one. And we find a lot of Rishonim discusses the Rambam, but let's look at the Rambam on the bottom of page 4. The Rambam is machmir, and he says, the mitzvah seishel Torah is to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Second line, this shofar we blow on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel is a keren hakfasim hakofuf. A keren of a keveth that's bent, an aisle. Keveth grows into an aisle. The chol ashofar psulin chutz mi keren hakeveth. Period. It has to be this species. And the Ravid attacks in bottom of the page. Where did he get this from? It's all the chatchila of the Mishnah and Amud Beis. It's not absolutely necessary, but that's how the Rambam holds. And I think the explanation is very simple. If you go back to the top of page 4, the Gemara asks, what's the machlokas? Whether you need kafuf, bent over, whether you need pashut. The Gemara talks about what it symbolizes. It symbolizes being bent over. It's enlightening. Why do we care so much about the symbolism here? You're not Yotze without this symbolism, according to many Rishonim. Because the shofar is about Zikaron. And that's what we want to talk about in today's shiur. When the Torah says Zichron, and that's the connection to the Chatzotzros, right? And that's why we need Kavana. What does it have in mind? Who's supposed to be remembering what? That's the topic of our shiur today, because as I showed you in the first couple of pages, this cuts to the very heart of the most central mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. So as I'd like to show you, I believe there are two basic directions, not just explanations, but directions. You'll see what I mean by the word direction. There are two separate, distinct directions that you can understand the shofar to be directed to. Let's begin on page 5. The Yerushalmi, when it talks about the pashut and the kafuf, is very clear about why you have straight or bent over. Amar Rabbi Yona, kedei sheyifshitu libam b'tshuva. Rabbi Yona explains the kafuf on the next halacha, kedei sheyachufu es libam b'tfila. What's interesting is that one is tshuva, one is tfila. But the common denominator is that the Yerushalmi Rabbi Yona explains that the shape of the shofar, according to both opinions, is to what? Is directed to who? Is to impact who? The heart of man, right? Kedei sheyifshitu libam. Kedei sheyachufu es libam. The shofar is meant to impact us. And there are many different sources in Chazal that speak about how the shofar is supposed to impact the human beings who are hearing it. For example, in Sefer Yoel Perek Beis, it says, V'Hashem natan kolo lefnei chelo. God sends out his voice, his noise, his sound in front of his army. What does it mean? The Medrash Tanchuma says it's referring to Kiyas Shofar. That the Jewish people should start shaking when they hear the shofar and do tshuva. It's to wake us up. And we see this in a Mishnah later on, in the same third Perek of Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah there says, why is it that Moshe was told to raise his hands on the hill when the Jews were fighting against Amalek? Remember, he had to raise his hands, and even when he got weak, they had to support him. The Mishnah asks, "V'chi yadav shel Moshe ozos milchama o shovros milchama?" Understand, the hands of Moshe miraculously make or break war. Ela lomar lecha kol zman shehu Yisrael mistaklim klapei ma'ala mishabnes libam la'vien shabashamayim hayu mizgabrim v'im lava yunoflim. The hands were a symbol for the Jewish people. Mishnah continues and talks about how the Nachash HaNechoshet, remember that copper snake put in the pole, was also a symbol for the Jewish people. It wasn't magic. The Rambam asks, why is this Mishnah here in Rosh Hashanah? Next source. Diber bekan kefi ma she'anachnu tzvichim bo, b'ma she'anachnu b'darko, u'kevi kavonas ha'mesechta. We need it here for the intention of the Mesechta. How is the intention of this Mesechta here connected to this? Because it's about shofar too. Shofar also, if you're looking in the flow, is meant to be a symbol to impact our hearts. We gotta get someone walking by to see in the RML if they want us outside or they want the music on. It's gonna be one or the other, right? We have to find a Jewish person. Jewish person! Where are all the Jews? Where are all the Jews?
They're like us.
Ashreinu. Ashreinu. Jewish person. Someone with a strong whistle. Someone with a strong whistle, want to whistle that?
I can't do it. Let's go.
Where are all the Jews when you need them? Everyone's walking by disturbing us. Now we finally need someone. There's nobody here. Where'd they all go? Spiro, give a whistle.
I can't do it.
I know it needs to be done. It's just going to get in a group of 7 Jews, there isn't anyone with a strong whistle.
I've tried many times.
Intermission. Senior! We need your help!
Jason.
Just sitting there.
That's Jason, not a D.
That's Jason? I can't see.
Yeah.
So call him. Jason, we need your help.
Jason! Yeah.
He's moving at Moshavah speed. Oh, tell him it's okay. What's this girl's name? Anyone knows? Girl. Woman. Young woman. What's her name?
Allie,
can you do us a favor? Can you run to the RML and tell them they should decide? Should we have our shiur outside or should the music continue? Thank you. In the meantime, we'll... You ready? Shofar is supposed to impact us. The music's going to impact us. We're going to learn Besimcha. Continuing, this is how the Ran and the other Spanish Rishonim explain a very interesting Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin. The Gemara asks there, why do we blow the shofar in so many different scenarios? You know, we blow it during Shmoneh Esrei, we blow it before Shmoneh Esrei. The tkiot before Shmoneh Esrei are called the tkiot de miyushav. We do them while we're still sitting, even though we stand, but you're not doing Shmoneh Esrei yet. The tkiot of Shmoneh Esrei are called the tkiot de meumad. Why do we do both? So the Gemara there says, kedei la'arbev ha-satan. So I would have said, what does la'arbev ha-satan mean?
Confused.
It's to impact the satan. Look how the Ran explains it. It's not magic. Kedei la'arbev ha-satan, pirish la'achnia sa-yetzer. We confuse the satan by changing ourselves. He's used to, you know, terrible sinners. He's going to get him on Rosh Hashanah. And suddenly everybody's all, you know, holy and from la'achnia sa-yetzer. And interestingly, the Ran quotes as proof text for this, a pasuk in Amos Daf Gimel. Okay, Amos Gimel. It says, "Im yitaka shofar beir, va'am lo yechradu." Does a shofar go off in the city, and the people aren't afraid? When would a shofar go off in the city in a way that people should be afraid? You have the pasuk below, by the way. A time of war. They used to blow the shofar at a time of war, and it was a siren like we have today. It's supposed to wake us up. It's building off the model of war. The siren goes off, but there's no war, right? It's time to do tshuva. And we see this idea in Svanya, when he's talking about the war in the end of days. He talks about a yom shofar utrua ala arim habitzuros, the day when the shofar sounds on the besieged cities, the sirens go off. But the strongest reference of this is in Yechezkel. If we look in Yechezkel, he talks about, Hashem says to the Navi and says, I'm appointing you as the scout. The scout would be on the highest point in the city and he would look around and see if an army was coming, right? And if an army was coming, what would he do? He'd sound the shofar. And what were the people supposed to do?
Get ready to fight.
What if the scout didn't sign the shofar?
No,
he's in a lot of trouble, right? So Yechezkel, Hashem says to Yechezkel, you're the scout. You're going to sound the shofar. So you're not going to be responsible. If they don't listen and do tshuva, it's their problem. He's using this image of the shofar being a way to call out and warn the people. This explains very nicely on page 6 the explanation given by the Gemara as to why we blow the shofar at Musaf and not Shachar. So you'd think we would do the shofar mitzvah right away. Anyone knows the explanation the Yerushalmi gives as to why we do it in the...
Is that because like when they blew in the morning, the Romans thought they were declaring war?
Other nations thought they were declaring war because you blew a shofar at a time of war and then they came and attacked the Jews.
Yeah.
But no one goes out to war in the middle of the day. That's why we blow it at the later part of the day. The Rishon, we're just going to finish this part of the shiur, we'll go inside. The Rishon who understands shofar in the clearest way as being about impacting us is the Rambam. And the Rambam connects it to that magic word we saw in the pasuk. What was the magic word?
Zikaron.
Very famous Rambam. Let's take a look. Afal pishet kiyat shofar b'rosh shana gzerat ha-katuv. Remez yeshbo. Klomar, uru yishenim mishenatchem v'nirdamim hekitzu mitadamatchem. Wake up! The music, the shofar. V'chipsu b'maasechem, v'chizru b'tshuva, v'zichru borachem. The Rambam has other places where he talks about mitzvos being to wake us up, to remind us. For example, the mezuzah, says the Rambam, that every time you walk through, you should remember your ava, your relationship with Hashem. But I think the one that's most parallel, and maybe even the basis for the explanation by Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, is Hilchos Tanios. You know that at a time of Tzara, we're supposed to have a Tainus, right? Not just for the past, but you don't have rain, you're at war, you're supposed to make a Tainus. Why? The Rambam explains that this is part of the din the Torah says, that when you go out to war, you have a Tzara, you blow the Shofar, you blow the Chatzotzos. Why? Let's look at the Rambam here. Hilchos Tanios. Mitzvah Haseh Min HaTorah Lizok Uleharia B'Chatzotzos. To cry out through the Chatzotzos. Halacha Beis. V'Dover Zeh Midarkei HaTshuvahu. It's meant to impact us, to wake us up, to realize if we're having these sorrows, it's because there's something wrong with us. Do you see the similarity between Rosh Hashanah and Chatzotzos? The Zikaron that we only appreciate because the Torah doesn't say the word Shofar by Rosh Hashanah. Because had it said the word Shofar, I would have immediately classified it with Yovel and walked away. The Zikaron is being learned from is parallel to what we have by the Chatzotzos. And just to complete the thought, and then we'll go inside, where else do we see the relationship between Shofar and Rosh Hashanah and war? If you look at the bottom of page 6, Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel explains that we learn the nature of Trua, what it is, crying from who in Tanakh? Which woman? The mother of Sisera. That fear at a time of war. There's, of course, the fear of those fighting, and there's the fear of those at home who don't know if their loved ones are going to come back from war or not, right? I don't know. That fear, that waiting, that trembling, the mother of Sisera. And this could be the explanation on top of page 7, according to this opinion of what we saw earlier in the Bavli. That the kafuf, the pashut, is kamedekayef inish date, the pashut inish date. It's about impacting our mindset on Rosh Hashanah. Let's move inside to one of the front tables. We'll continue with the other direction Shofar could be understood to be relating to. Musical intermission. You got driven inside by music, right? Okay, we're in Galus. Baruch Hashem, the Shechina goes with us in Galus.
They send us all the way to the pacemakers.
Halavai, the Jews, Galus should always have been and always be in an air-conditioned, beautiful Beit Midrash. If we look at page 7, continuing, Rashi, based on a lot of sources, explains the direction of the shofar very differently. If you look here, Rashi explains the kayif, first of all, that it's about tefillah. It's about how we daven. And he says, therefore, in Rosh Hashanah, where it's about tefillah, and to remind us of the Akedah, we'll get back to that, that's why you need kfufin. Now Rashi, of course, only mentions the Akedah by the Kayif, because that was what the Akedah was. But even according to the Poshet Manda Amar, he also mentions tefillah. Mishum nisa levavenu el kapayim. Two different forms of tefillah. One opinion holds tefillah is to be bent over, the other holds tefillah is to stand up, you know, straight before Hashem. And we see many sources that link the shofar to tefillah. For example, the Rush quotes the Yerushalmi, which explains why we blow the narrow side of the shofar. Because min ha-meitzar karati ka. Skipping over the Ramban, if we go back to the original Akedah, you see this notion of it being a way to help bring us forgiveness. In Bereishis Perek Chaf Beis, after Avram sacrificed the ram, the sacrifice we commemorate by blowing the shofar of a ram on Rosh Hashanah, Vayikra Avram Shem HaMakomu Hashem Yireh Asher Yeyamar Hayom Behar Hashem Yireh. It will one day be said that God will be seen here. What does that mean? Rashi quotes Midrash which says, Akedah Zu Hashem Yireh Akedah Zu L'Sloach L'Yisrael B'chol Shana V'Latzilah Min HaPorah. The Akedah is the basis of what we remember, what we remind God of in order for Him to forgive us. And of course we have many Midrashim that speak about the shofar being a kli to get God to forgive us. The Medrash Rabbah, which is the source for this Rashi, talks about that Avram said, "Yehi ratzon l'fanach." The end of the Medrash Elokeinu b'shas sheyu banav shel Yitzchak ba'im lidei averus u'ma'asim royim tihei nizkar lehem ota akedah v'titmalei aleihem rachamim. Similarly, we say in the psukim before we blow the shofar, "Allah Elokim b'trua, Hashem b'kol shofar." Chazal were bothered. Why do we first refer to Hashem as Elokim, midat adin, and then we refer to Hashem as Hashem, midata racha mim? So the Medrash says, we blow the shofar in front of Hashem, hoping to impact Hashem and cause him to get up from the Kisei Adin to Kisei Rachem, whatever that means, it's about trying to impact Hashem, not us, right? Similarly, the pasuk we say before blowing, and again, not coincidentally, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Tura, why are we so happy? Rashi says, we know how to entice Hashem and Hashanah by blowing the shofar to forgive us. The Medrash discussed this more at length, bottom of the page. What do you mean, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Tura? Every nation knows how to blow a horn. A three-year-old kid knows how to blow a horn. No, how to blow in a way that entices Hashem to forgive us. And moving to the top of page 8, the Gemara, of course, explaining the Mishnah of why you can't have golden cover for your shofar mouthpiece, right? It says, Ein kategor na'aseh sanegor. The Gemara says, but wait a second, we use gold in many places, right? So the Gemara narrows down when this issue applies, and it applies when you're bringing something into the inside of the Beit Mikdash. So the Gemara asks, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah isn't the inside of the Beit Mikdash. So the Gemara answers the last line of the Gemara, Kevan de lezikaron hu kibifnim dami. Since shofar is as a zikaron, it's as if it's on the inside. Now again, if the shofar is directed to us, how is it on the inside of the Mikdash? The point is it's directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how the Rashbam explains Zichron Trua. Al Yedei HaTrua Tizkeru LaMakom. Zichron Trua. Who's remembering?
Hashem.
Hashem. Kidichtiv Vahareotem B'chatzotzot V'nizkartem L'fnei Hashem Elokechem. Isn't it interesting how both the Rashbam and assumably the Rambam understood the Zikaron of Shofar based on the Chatzotzos, not Yovel, that's number one, right? But number two, two different models of Chatzotzos. The Rambam understands the Zikaron of Shofar as similar to the Zikaron of Chatzotzos at what time? Milchama. It's about impacting us. The Rashbam, V'hariotem b'chatzotzrot, which one is that? That's also talking about war, but he understands at a time of war, we're using it to do what? The Rashbam, al yedei ha'trua tizkeru la'makom, kidichtev v'hariotem b'chatzotzrot. They understand chatzotzrot differently, right? The chatzotzrot of war differently. The Rambam understands the chatzotzrot of war are to impact us. The Rashbam understands the chatzotzot of war are to speak to Hashem. But if we look back at the pasuk that we use to conclude shofros, here it references not the pasuk of chatzotzot of war, but as we already saw, the pasuk of chatzotzot of, look at the next source, of Beis Hamikdash, V'yom Simchas Chamoadechem, Rashi Chatzechem, Utekatem b'chatzotzot, the tkia, not the true or the brokenness, but the tkatem, who's the Koran, the Fnei Hashem, Lokechem. We can say that the Rambam and the Rashbam, but they both build off the Chatzotzos of war. If you understand it as a tefillah to Hashem, you could say we're building off the Chatzotzos of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis Yosef asks, why would we quote a pasuk of Chatzotzos here? So maybe it's because it's similar in the Zikaron. And just to elaborate a little bit more on this notion of shofar as tefillah, the Beis HaLevi, the father of Reb Chaim, and many others, especially in Chassidus, talk about how the shofar is our taking the natural voice of nature to use it to daven to Hashem. The unadulterated, right, still pure voice of nature that we use to call out to Hashem. And there's a very interesting halachic implication of shofar being viewed as tefillah. I'll tell you what it is. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is based on the Mishnah that if you hear Teisha tzkios v'teisha shows of the day. Right, 9 o'clock, you hear one, 10 o'clock, the next one, and a hefsek in between, you're yotze. But then the Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef who says, but if you had an ones in between, where you couldn't blow during that time, then you're not yotze, because of the hefsek. So the Bir Halacha asks, I don't understand. The notion of hefsek, you couldn't blow him, that's only by davening, right? If you're davening, and you couldn't, you want to say, you couldn't daven, you have to, your mom said, you have to go back. But why by shofar? So what's the answer?
It's like davening.
It's like davening. It's like davening. And the shofar is a form of tefillah. And if you remember, we saw in Rashi, before you turn the page, at the top of page 7, he quoted these two psukim for tefillah. Tefillah being down first, v'hayu einai v'libi sham, down. Tefillah being pashet, right? Because nisa levavenu l'kapayim. Basically, Rashi is paraphrasing on page 9, the Gemara in Yevamah, staf kuf heyam and beis. But there's a machlokas. One opinion says when a person davens, his eyes should be down because it says v'hayu einai v'libi sham. The other one says his eyes should be up. Nishum nisa levaveinu al kapayim. But this is the idea. And we find many sources, just to conclude this, in the bottom of page 9, where it talks about the shofar being a way of directing it to Hashem. For example, the Gemara in Shabbat of Kuf Lamed Aleph is talking about how we know that there are mitzvahs that are Docha Shabbos. Midaraisa shofar is Docha Shabbos. We'll get back to that later, Midarabbanan's not. Anyway, so the Gemara says, why don't we learn from shofar to other mitzvahs? So the Gemara says, because shofar is unique. Shekein machneses zichrono shel Yisrael avien shem Hashemayim. Because it brings the zikaron of the Jewish people in front of Hashem. Again, shofar directed to us, or shofar directed to God. Similarly, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Amud Bet asks, why do we blow the shofar of a ram? And it answers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, blow the shofar of a ram. Kedei she'ezkar lochem akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. Kedei she'ezkar lochem, that God should remember for you. Of course, obvious question here is why God needs to be reminded. He's a pretty smart guy, good memory. We'll get back to that later. Rashi quotes this as well. Zichron trua, zichron tsuke, zichronos, tsuke, shofros, lizkor lochem akedat Yitzchak, etc. We'll skip the last couple of sources. Okay, so we saw these two directions. First, I want to talk to you about the most significant nafkamina of this question, which happens, or that doesn't happen to be, the most central iyun question about the blowing of the shofar. I don't know if any of you have ever learned Rosh Hashanah or shofar before, have ever heard about this question, but the question that's asked about the blowing of the shofar is the mitzvah to blow the shofar, or the mitzvah to hear the shofar? Now, the nafkamina would be that if... Excuse me?
You steal a shofar.
Yeah, that's definitely enough. Well, we'll soon see, but we'll get to it. But, meaning, you might ask, force the mitzvah is to listen. Not everyone blows, right? You can say, no, someone's being motzi you, and you're yotzi through his blowing. Now, let's see the background of the question, and then we'll see how it's linked to the issue we're discussing. So, the background is basically, to what extent is the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah similar to the mitzvah on Yovel? Because in Yovel, everyone agrees the mitzvah is to blow it. If you look at the top of page 10, the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah says, "Amitzvah Kuf Lamed Zayin, he should tivanu litkoa b'shofar ba'asiri mitishrei." The Rambam in the Halachos, Shmita b'Yovel Ya Yud Yud, Mitzvah say litkoa b'shofar. What about Rosh Hashanah? So the Smag, one of the Rishonim, says by Rosh Hashanah too, litkoa b'shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Shnei Yom Tshuva Yelachem, Mitzvah say litkoa. The Yerim writes very similarly, Tkiyak. On the other hand, we have the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, which says a halacha, which many Rishonim understood as a proof for the fact that the mitzvah is shmia. What does the Mishnah say? Let's say you're blowing into a bore or into a barrel of some sort, where an echo is being created. So the Mishnah says, in kol shofar shama, if what you're hearing is the call of the shofar, you're yotze. But if you hear kol havara, the echo, you're not yotze. Now the obvious question is, if the mitzvah is the tkia, who cares what you're hearing? The Rush, because of this, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, quotes the Baha, quotes others who say the mitzvah is shmia. They're talking about which lashon of the bracha you should say. Rabbeinu Tam said you should say al tkiat shofar. Al tkiat shofar. But the Rav Yar brings a Yerushalmi who says you're supposed to say lishmoa because the mitzvah is lishmoa. And they brought a proof from this Mishnah. And the Rambam, as we'll soon see, not coincidentally, he was the greatest proponent of the mitzvah being shmiah. And he goes out of his way to make this point to you. He makes the point in his Sefer HaMitzvos. You see here, Mitzvah Kufayin. Shetzivanu lishmoa kol shofar. Even though the Rambam, as we saw, wrote by Yovel, that it's litkoa. So he holds this difference is a difference. The Rambam, in his introduction to the Hilcha Shofar, when he lists the mitzvah, he calls it lishmoa kol shofar. And the Rambam starts every perek of Hilcha Shofros by reminding you of the mitzvah of Lishmo. Let's look bottom of 10, moving on to 11. Mitzvah Zeshah Shav Torah, Lishmo Atruat HaShofar. Now on page 11, HaKol Chayavin, Lishmo HaKol Shofar. Perek Gimel, Kamat Kiyot Chayav Adam, Lishmo HaBiyom Tov. The Rambam, in fact, has a tshuva where he was asked, page 11, what's the big difference between saying the Lashon of Lishmo HaKol Shofar, Alt Kiyat Shofar, what difference does it make? The Rambam answered, Ahevdel b'nehem gadol meod. V'ze shehamitzvah mechuyeves eino hatkiyo el shmiyas hatkiyo. The mitzvah is not the tkiyo, it's hearing the tkiyo. She'ilu haysa ha-mitzvah mechuyevet hi-hatkiyo, because if the mitzvah was blowing, haya chayav kol adam ve'adam min ha-scharim litko, we would all have to blow. Again, those who hold tkiyo will say you're being motzi with the blowing. The Rambam proves in the fact we don't all blow, the mitzvah is shmiyah. And as Eli, correct? Just learning names. Yeah. As Eli said, the Yerushalmi, and the Rambam based on Yerushalmi quotes this, that's what he's remembering, talks about the shofar of Avodah Zarah. Can you use a shofar of Avodah Zarah on Rosh Hashanah? So Lulav, for example, you can't. It's a mitzvah Baba Avera. But by shofar, the Yerushalmi gives two explanations as to why you can. First, it says, "Hakocha yom by shofar you can, yulav you can't."
But that's because they would have been burned,
right? Because it means about you can't, right? So here again, by shofar it says, "Hakocha yom trua yelacha mikol makom." It says yom trua, so therefore it's exeris hakasim. But then the Yerushalmi gives another explanation. By lulav begufa hu yotze, you're using the gufa lulav to be yotze. You need the physical lulav, and it's usher, it's destroyed. But hacha by the shofar bekolo hu yotze, you're being yotze through the kol. So we don't care where it's generated from. Look how the Rambam quotes this halacha in the next source here, Lishitaso. Right, he says, shofar hagozel shetakoa bo yotze. If you use the shofar hagozel, you yotze. She'ein hamitzvah ela b'shmias hakol. The mitzvah is hearing the voice, and you heard the voice, right? The rabbi, by the way, disagrees here. The Lecha Mishnah asks, next source, but I don't understand. By Shemitah V'Yovel, the Rambam wrote it to mitzvah L'tkoa. So the Radvaz, the great Rishon from Egypt, he explains, look at the Psukim. By Yovel, if you remember the Psukim, it talks about the Havarta Shofar Chua, Taviru Shofar Chua, it's the Maisa Tkia. By Rosh Hashanah, what does the Torah say? Zichron Chua, Yom Chua. It talks about the result. It doesn't even mention the Shofar. It doesn't talk about using the Shofar. It talks about the result. Or Rabbi Yonasan Milunil, I mention him because tomorrow in Shiva we're going to mention him. One of the Rishonim from Provence. Provence was and still is an area between France in the north and Spain in the south. If you ever heard of Catalonia, the issues internationally about whether they're their own issue or not, Barcelona, they fight, we're our own union, we're our own area, they want independence. If you ever heard of that whole issue, they were independent. And they were the Jews, they were also separate. It was the Rivid, the Meiri, the Balamor. If you've heard of these Rishonim. So Lunil was one of those sages known as Lunil. And he writes that the reason you're Yotze is because it says in the Pasuk Yom Trura, Zichron Trura. It doesn't say you have to actually create it. It just says you have to hear it. Okay, so we concluded our explanation of the two Shitos. How do these two Shitos relate to the two understandings of the direction of the shofar? Simple, no? Tell me, yeah. Why would you say the mitzvah is shmiah? If the purpose of the shofar is to impact us. And that's why the Rambam is l'shitasa. The Rambam says shmiah, and the Rambam says impact. The Yerushalmi also, if you remember, says the bracha is shmoah and says impact. The Ritzvah makes this connection. On the top of page 4, let's look together. The hacha shmiat ha-shofar, who is page 12, he ikara mitzvah. B'kavanat ha-torah kedei sheyeh or adam lachzor b'tshuva. That's why the Nusach is Shmiah, because it's about impacting us. Why would you say the Nusach is Tkia? Let's go back to page 10 for a second. Remember the Smag we saw who said the mitzvah is Tkia? What does he mention as the nature of the mitzvah in the third line? He quotes the Gemara in Daf Tezayin, which talks about how the mitzvah is to remind Hashem of Akedas Yitzchak. The Yireim also, one of the German Rishonim, who was a Met fan. Could he come from Metz? Yireim stands for Rebbe Eliezer Mimetz. Reish Ayin Mem. He's from a city in France called Metz. You a Metz fan?
Not really.
Baseball. That's okay. Rav Rafi and I, we only allow Metz fans in the baseball. Anyone who's a Yankee fan has to be a Murano. Any Yankee fans here? Oh, Ezra looks like he's a Yankee fan.
I'm a Yankee fan.
Rav Rafi, watch out. I'm on. Watch out, you're on it. Okay. So anyway, getting back to the point. Look at the Yireim also. Tkiya b'roshana v'yotze b'kitaf v'yidina v'yiyot v'mishma v'tkiyat v'shofar shal ayol v'yizkor l'cha akedat Yitzchak. So it really lines up very beautifully. And in fact, just to complete this thought, on the bottom of page 12, when we'll get to the last part of the shir, and after that, I think this could impact which one of the two halachic requirements you see as more significant. Is it the species or the shape of the shofar? Why would the species be important? The ram?
It's in back Hashem.
To remind you of the Akedah. To remind Hashem of the Akedah. If it's the form,
that's what we see.
So then it would be for us, right? There's just one problem with this. And that's the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam, the bottom of page 12, you already saw the Rambam holds you need a specific one, and it's ma'akev, not l'chatchila. He mentions both keren, keves, hakofof, the species and the shape. But then when he summarized, V'chol ashofar's psulin chutz mikeren hakeves. What does he emphasize?
Species.
Species. But for the Rambam, it should be?
Shape.
The shape. So this brings us to the third part of the shiur. The most important part, and the most important part also methodologically. It's very easy if you learn the Brisker methodology, which is trying to identify the principles at hand and ask a question, is it this, is it that? It's very easy to become a schizophrenic, a Torah schizophrenic. And what that means is any issue you look at in Torah has two sides. And if anyone asks you a question, or you ask yourself a question, what is this? You don't know. It could be this, or it could be this. That is a very dangerous way of looking at Torah. Could be this, could be this, could be this. Everything is in options. The reason we learn, or the reason one should learn Brisker Derech, is to identify the different principles that all play a role. It's not one or the other, it's all of these things. The machlokas is which one of these principles is more significant in this case. The machloksim are test cases where you see all the principles at work. But all the principles are important. That's why I believe whenever you learn a sugya where you're seeing different things at work, you have to see how they come together. If you want, you can call it Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Now, there are two ways that you can see different principles at work. One is, just a machlokas. He heals this way, he heals that way, and we paskin like him. The other way is to say, they're all working l'halacha. Now, how could they all be working l'halacha in different situations? Or even at the same time? So if you're talking about the level of integration, machlokas is the least integrated. You hold one or you hold the other. Never the twain shall meet. The second form is more integrated. We paskin both, but in different scenarios. The third is the most integrated. They're functioning together. They're functioning together. And the truth is, if you go back to Rashi, there's an issue in Rashi and an issue in the Rambam. We already saw the issue in the Rambam. We'll mention more in the Rambam. That I think kind of push you to see more than one thing at play. Let's go back to Rashi on the top of page 7. Remember that Rashi there? So he talks about how it's the tefillah of the shofar is for the akedah. But what's interesting is that Rashi also mentions the word inish. In the Gemara, kama dekayif inish. It seems to be about the person. So is it about the person impacting the person, or is it about reminding Hashem? Which one is it? The Rambam, of course, we already saw. So again, one could say it's a machlokas. And I think there are many Rishonim who understood that it was a machlokas. I'll give you an example. If you look at the Ramban that we skipped before, we're going to come back to it now. It's on page 7, right below the Rashi we saw a few moments ago. When the Ramban explains the opinion that holds Pashut, right? Shofar needs to be straight. He says, Zecher liyomtev shetarim karnenu. It's a yomtev halachot. Yomtev is about Hashem raising us up. So that's why the shofar should be straight. It's not a din in shofar being directed to God or being directed to us. Meaning, according to the cough of Mandomer, it would be impacting us. So you see here a machlokas at play. But as I said, one could even say they both work in different situations. And that's what we're going to see now on page 13 and 14. And then we'll see on page 15, 16 how they can work together, not just in different scenarios. And the different scenarios I want to show you is a difference between how we blow it in the Beit Mikdash and how we blow it outside the Beit Mikdash, or what the Mishnah would call B'medina. Outside the Beit Mikdash. And we find two different halachic distinctions between shofar blown in the Mikdash Rosh Hashanah and shofar blown outside the Mikdash. And the question is, are these just technical, local halachot, or are they indicative of a much broader conceptual distinction? Let's look at the two distinctions first of all. Let's see them straight off. So you remember, regarding the species and form of the shofar, we saw two Mishnayot. On Chavav Amad Aleph, the Mishnah said, all shofars are ksherim with the exception of the parah. We're looking inside on page 13. But the Mishnah on Chavav Amad Beis, the very next Mishnah, seems to require a specific shofar. Shofar Shoshana Shel Yael, Pashit, Piv Mitzupe Zov. The Ramban explains the difference between the Mishnayot is the following. The first Mishnah is talking about everywhere else outside the Mikdash. There you can blow anything you want except the parah. The second Mishnah is talking about the shofar that was used in the Beit Mikdash. How can you see from the Mishnah that the second Mishnah is talking about the shofar that was used in the Beit Mikdash? First of all, it says Shtei Chatzos Min Hatzadim. We don't do that. The Gemara, in fact, next source, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph from Rosh Hashanah, says there were people who tried to do that outside the Beit Mikdash. They told them, no, you can't do that. Additionally, there's another halacha mentioned by that shofar in Chavav Amud Beis that we don't do. What's that? Piv Mitzupe Zav. You ever see a shofar, Piv Mitzupe Zav from Rosh Hashanah? Rashi explains why, next source. So all the Ramban did was say the first part of the Mishnah is also that. The Gemara says Beferish Techatzos Mitzvah is only in the Mikdash. Rashi says Beferish that the Piv Mitzvah is only in the Mikdash. The Ramban just went back to the beginning of the Mishnah and said the form and shape are also, the speeches and shape are also only in the Mikdash. So it's not a a huge, terrible chiddush, right? We also find another distinction, and that is in the fourth parak, because the first one is the third parak. The fourth parak begins, for those who saw the beginning, talking about what happens on Rosh Hashanah that's Chal B'Shabbat. So the halacha is, for those who don't know, we blow in the Beit Mikdash, but not outside the Beit Mikdash. Where did this distinction come from? So first of all, why you know, where did the whole thing come from? So interestingly, if you look at the Gemara on the bottom of page 13, the Gemara asked, where does it come from? Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Katav Echad Omer Shabbaton Zichron Trura. The Katav Echad Omer Yom Trura. One says it's a day of blowing, the other is a day when you remember blowing. Which one is it? So the Gemara says, when it's not on Shabbat, you actually blow. When it's on Shabbat, you remember blowing, but you don't blow. The Gemara rejects that distinction. And then it quotes Rava, who says, Midaraisa, we should be blowing in the Mikdash too, the Rabbanah made Gzeira. I mean, outside the Mikdash too, the Rabbanah made Gzeira. Why here, why there? We'll get back to that. But if you continue on page 14, you see the Yerushalmi sticks with the Daraisa distinction. And it says, when it's on Shabbos, it's a Zichron. When it's during the week, you actually blow. Now, how do we know that when on Shabbos, you still blow in the Mikdash? I mean, again, when it's out, when it's not Shabbos, you blow everywhere. When it is Shabbos, you remember, but when it's in the Mikdash, you blow. Why? So the Gemara says, because that's where the Korbanos are brought. What's going on? So first of all, just to continue with this theme, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, seemingly along the lines of the Yerushalmi, or maybe they understood the Bavli still maintains the Psukim. And we have this in our Machzor. When Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, when we say, it's Yom HaZikaron, that we say, Yom Trua Mikra Kodesh. But when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, you may remember in the Machzor, it's in parentheses the word Yom, and you say instead, Zichron. So that's like the Yerushalmi, like the beginning of the Bavli, right? Here you see the Machzor in front of you, you can see how we do it. In fact, the Shibali Aleka, one of the Italian Rishonim, asks, what do we need this whole Gzera the Rabba business? It's two Psukim, one is Shabbos and one is Chol. He says, Rabba's merely explaining the Psukim. Wow, right? Rabba's just explaining why we have this distinction in the Psukim. The Turi Evin says in a very similar way, Turi Evin, one of the major Achronim on Shana, says that the real explanation, why is it that we blow in the Mikdash? If it's Asher Midarabban, it should be Asher everywhere. So the Turi Evin says, the Chachamim did not want to be Mevatel Tkiyat Shofar totally on the day that Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat. Why? Second line, let's look inside. Mishum Shehu Lehalot Zichronam Shel Yisrael Le'aviem Shabashamayim. Because the purpose of the Shofar is what? To what?
Impact
to impact Hashem. We're not going to have that on Rosh Hashanah when it falls on Shabbat. Hayitochen? So why does it make sense that they left it only in the Mikdash? Because that's where we bring Karbanos. That's where we're close to Hashem. That's where we're already speaking to Hashem. The Ramban says this next source. He says that Kishem Shetokin Shem Kamet Kiyas Ala Korban Token Afzo. We already blow on the Karbanos on Rosh Hashanah. Right? Remember? We already have all that. It's part of that bigger framework. Again, it's back to our question. Is the Shofar Tefillah part of the Chatzotzot? Part of that story? The Ravid, if we skip a source, says the same thing. Hatam itnei she'en l'shofar ikum afurish begulin. There's no source in the Torah that tells you blow outside the Mikdash. Shalom retorah Shabbaton zichron trua ale b'makom v'yakrafta mishal Hashem. If you continue reading the pasuk, it says, Shabbaton zichron trua v'yakrafta mishal Hashem. It's part of the framework of the Korbanos. In fact, one can say a very powerful thing. Last source, we'll come back to Tosis in a second. By Yikar Abba, the Medrash says, Hashem likes all the sevens. The seventh day is?
Shabbos.
The seventh year is?
Yeah.
The seventh cycle of years? You know, the seventh month?
Tishrei.
It's Rosh Hashanah, right? Look at the bottom of the Medrash here. It says, every month we blow the Shofar, the Chatzotzos in the Mikdash, right? On Rosh Chodesh, right? Remember? On Rosh Hashanah, we take the blowing and we have it outside the Mikdash too, right? But the core is really building off the Mikdash. If we go back to Tosas for a second, Tosas asks, why is it that by Shofar, the Lulav falls on Shabbos, we knock the mitzvah out totally. But when Shofar falls out, we keep it alive in the Mikdash. Why? V'yesh lomer, the Shofar shehu la'alot zichronim she'yisroel la'avi and shebashamayim lo'etzu l'vat l'gamer. Or in other words, let me explain it this way. Hakedas Yitzchak is that moment when we showed that commitment that we can tap into to remind Hashem to forgive us, right? What's the best place in the world to tap into Hakedas Yitzchak? The place that became the place where we continue offering karbanos along those themes, right? That's why we blow in the Mikdash. That has the extra power. We blow outside the Mikdash also on Rosh Hashanah as opposed to every other Chodesh. Why? Why do we want to blow everywhere? What does blowing everywhere add that we don't have in the Mikdash?
To find us.
To find all the human beings, right? We want to impact us too? So how can one explain the difference? Shofar aims two things, to impact people and to impact God. That's the difference between Mikdash and Medina. And that's why all over the world, you blow any shofar you want. In the Mikdash, you got to blow the aisle to remind of Akedas Yitzchak. And that could explain both of these distinctions. So we talked about the idea that it could be a machlokas. We talked about how you find the different ideas in different scenarios. And we're going to conclude this year now in pages 15 and 16, talking about how you can find them both operating at the same time. So one small example of this is, in the Siddur of Rashi, when it talks about the mitzvah of shofar, it talks about the bracha. It says, you say, Asher k'desham tzavet yivanu, al tkiyat shofar l'shmo akol shofar. Meaning you say?
And both.
Both. You say both. But the biggest problem that forces you to consider the mitzvah may be both is the Mishnah Chavtas Amid Aleph. Second source, page 15. The Mishnah there begins, we already saw, by talking about the hands of Moshe and the copper snake and how it's to influence us, right? And we said it's here because it's like shofar to influence us. But the end of the Mishnah says, it's in bold, Cheresh shot of a cotton ein motzina tharab miyadech hovasan. If a cotton blows the shofar, it's not motzi. Why not? Did you hear the call, shofar? If the mitzvah is shmiya, who cares who's blowing it? And we talked about before, you need the kavanah of the mashmiya. Similar halacha. Why do you need the kavanah of the mashmiya? You heard the voice of the shofar, no?
It's not a problem.
It's not a problem. Why not?
You have to hear the sound from a person who blew it correctly.
Why? Let's say he blows it correctly, perfectly. Tkiya, Torah, perfectly.
You have to hear correct blowing.
What does correct blowing mean?
A person or...
What? Why do you need it? Why do you need it? That's what we're asking. If the mitzvah is shmiya, just like the din of Gezel, it's all right to use a shofar that's pasul, right?
You're not hearing a good blowing.
Why is it not a good blowing? You're repeating it. Why is it not a good blowing?
He's not fine in the same way.
He's not? Who? Why should I care? If the din is the kol. By Gezel, you have a rotten shofar using it, right?
Because it's not just the kol.
I understand what you're saying. We have to understand why it's so. It's not just, so it's obviously not just hearing a kol. It's obviously not just hearing. So for example, the Shagas Aryeh, third source, the Shagas Aryeh says, Al korchach tkiyah shofar la v'shmiya l'chud tal. It must not be only tkiyah, ela be'ikr tkiyah also. But that's clearly not the explanation for the Rambam. I don't believe the Shagas Aryeh saw the tshuva of the Rambam. Because in the tshuva, remember the Rambam wrote in the tshuva, the mitzvah is not the tkiyah. If it were the tkiyah, we couldn't be motzi each other. So I think the explanation we see in the Rambam himself. Let's skip the pre-tzadik Rav Tzadik HaKohen for a second. There's a Rambam that talks about Tkiyat Shofar and Rosh Hashanah in a very big mechudish way, but nobody knows it because he mentions it by Yovel. Everyone see the Yovel mitzvah here? He should tivanu letkoa shofar ba'asiri mitish mishan azu v'lekroa b'chol ha'artzenu dror la'avadim, right? The purpose of blowing Shofar and Yovel is to announce the freedom for the slaves. The Rambam at the very end of the piece, he writes, the ein in yana of Yovel, ki inyan tkiyat Rosh Hashanah. Yovel's not like Rosh Hashanah. Ki hi zikaron lefnei Hashem. The Rambam here writes that the purpose of blowing Rosh Hashanah is what? Lefnei Hashem. I thought the purpose was to?
Mind us.
Uh-oh. Is the Rambam confused? So let's read the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch writes very beautifully. And this is parallel to the Rambam, he just elaborates. Ve'ein in yana ki inyan tkiyat shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Shatkiyah hi, anu osim l'kvoa machshavtenu al akedat Yitzchak, v'nitzayer b'nafshenu la'asot gam banu kamohu le'avat Hashem, u'mitoch kach ya'ale zichroneinu lefnei Hashem letov. See how he mixes it together here? We asked a question before, I don't think God needs to be reminded of akedat Yitzchak. Come on. We saw all the sources, it says, Kadesh Eskor Lachem. God remembers. The question is whether that memory is relevant to you. God has selective memory. If you look at the bottom of page 15, moving on to page 16, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Pasuk says, let's see the Pasuk. V'tomer Tzion, Azavani Hashem, V'Hashem Shechechoni. Hashem has abandoned and forgotten me. Hashem responds, HaTishkach Isha Ula Mirechem Ben Bitna. Can a woman forget the baby she bore into the world? Gamela Tishkachachna, even if that could be forgotten, V'Anochi Lo Eshkachech, I don't forget you. The Gemara in Baruch Hu elaborates on this and says, "Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Eshkach Olot Eilim Pitzreach Hamim Sheikvav Tafane Bemir." I forget the Karbanos. Amar Tafane Ribanos Shalom Hol Vein Shichah Lefnei Kisik Vodecha. If you have no Shichah, maybe you won't forget the Maaseh Egel. Hashem says, "Gam yadati shokach." That's refers to the psukim. However, Baruch Shalom, if you forget, maybe you'll forget Sinai and Kabbalah Torah. V'anochi lo ashkachech. God decides what to remember and what to forget. What he remembers and forgets regarding you depends on what you remember. It's not magic. When we blow the shofar, we hear the shofar, we're supposed to think about the Akedah ourselves and think about, are we ready to do that? Are we that committed? And if we are, that's how God views us. So I think the explanation is, you have to hear a call that's being directed to Hashem. If you know that that call is being directed to Hashem and reminding of Akedah Yitzchak, that's supposed to remind you. But if a call being blown as a game, or by someone who doesn't understand what they're blowing for, you need to hear a call that's about this bigger picture. And I think moving to page 16, that's why it's not a stira in Rashi. On the one hand, Rashi writes the shofar Rosh Hashanah is tefillah and the hasker Akedah Yitzchak. On the other point, he mentions Kama Dekai Finish. Which one is it? It's both. And you see this beautifully in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tet Zayin. Let's read it together. The Gemara says, Imru lefanei Rosh Hashanah malchiyot zechonu v'shofar. Hashem says, say all three in front of me. Malchiyot is first, kedei shetam lichuni alechem. Zichronot kedei sheyale zichronechem lefanei letova. Uvameh b'shofar. Malchus is first because it's about how it impacts us. Zichronos is then how it relates to God. Kedei she'ezkor lechem, akedei sitzrik ben Avram, ma'al ni'alechem, kilu akadetem atzmechem lefanei. And I think you see this beautifully forward thinking in the bracha of Shofrot. Or another, Malchiot is meant to impact us. We should be mekabel Malchiot on ourselves. Zichronot is directed to Hashem. What about Shofrot? Shofrot begins by talking about how Hashem blew the shofar on Sinai. Atonig leisa be'anan kvodecha, alam katshecha ledaberimam, min ha-shamayim ishmatam kolecha, v'niglet aleihem barapilei to'ar, v'tashmiyem etod kolecha, uvekol shofar aleihem ofata. You blew to the Jewish people at Sinai to announce that you were there and get them to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. Those are the psukei Torah. You know that in each of the brachas we have psukei Torah, nevi'im ksuvim, we're going to get to that, you know, this month. Uvedivrei katshecha kasev leimor, next paragraph. All Elokim v'tura Hashem b'kol shofar. These psukim are talking not about how the shofar is meant to impact us, but how the shofar is meant to impact Hashem. V'chatzotzu b'kol shofar ha'ril lefnei ha'melech Hashem, we're blowing to Hashem. Right? All this to Hashem. First, it's about the call to us. We respond to the call to God. And now the third part. V'al yedei avadecha nevi'im kosev leimor kol yoshvei tevel v'yoshoch ne'eretz kinso neis harim teru v'titko shofar tishmau. One day the shofar will be blown v'nemer v'yah b'yom ahu yitaka b'shofar gadol uva'u ovdim b'eretz ashur taka b'shofar gadol l'cheruteinu. God blew at Sinai, we heard, we hear. We respond to God by blowing the shofar before him to bring slicha, and we hope the shofar will be heard by God, from God again to us, announcing
Mashiach
and the Gula. When we hear and we respond, we hope that God will respond. To conclude, the Baal HaMoor puts this together in a very beautiful way. He asks, why don't we say the bracha of Shechiyonu by Sfiras HaOmer? I don't know if anyone's ever wondered that. There are a lot of explanations to this, but the Baal HaMoor gives an explanation bottom of the page. We only say Shechiyonu on something we have Hana'ah from. For example, you get a new fruit, you get a new suit, you have Hana'ah from it. Sfiras HaOmer, you get no Hana'ah. Okay, what's the Hana'ah of Luluv and the Hana'ah of Shofar? So Luluv is supposed to be Simcha, v'smachtam afnei Hashem Elokeichem. Shofar, let's look, bottom of the page. It reminds us of each other. Who's Zikaron? Read it again. Who's remembering who?
Israel's remembering God.
Bain, Yisrael, Avi, and
Shabashamayim.
We're meant to remember each other. And that memory depends on which memory we choose for ourselves. The Zikaron Lefnei Hashem is based on the Zikaron that we have Lefnei Hashem. So I think this is the most basic, not just the philosophy of Shofar, but how it impacts the Halacha of Shofar too. Tkiya, Shmiya, right? It's huge. Okay, I hope it wasn't too much. I hope it was useful. We should continue learning what we're learning. Okay, lunch. And then I think they want people's help with the Chanichim when they come. And Mincha 145. And if people have devices, please let other BMPers know. If people have devices, they need to get hooked up. Mendel said he'll do it after Mincha. Shani is giving a share after Mincha. From Mincha today, regular schedule. With me, and we have a schedule, Maariv, things. I'm starting Koheles tonight, Mr. Shem, 7 p.m. after dinner.
What's Shani going to be teaching?
Oh, she told me. I just have to remember. She told me. Mr. Shem will announce it.
Oh, you're in 7 different.
What? You're in 7 different. No, no, now again.